Good evening, everyone. Thank you, Blake, for those songs. Just a shout out to all of our song leaders. I've seen in everyone that's led since our singing workshop a month ago, y'all doing things that Jonathan taught us and some things he suggested. So thank y'all for that. And if you know you're not a song leader, but you can encourage them. Song leading is not the it's a very daunting thing. It's not the easiest thing to do. So they do an awesome job, and we appreciate them. Also, if you're interested in getting into song leading, we could always use more song leaders. I'm the unofficial person in charge of song leaders when people, you know, can't lead for whatever reason. But we're always looking for more people. We actually had a number of people lead who don't usually lead today at Parkview. Mari and Jason led a song. Joseph Langston, Sean Pardorski led a song. They all did an awesome job. And I love seeing people do that who don't normally do that. So thank y'all for being a part of that. Tonight, we're talking about prayer. Tonight's lesson is going to be more of kind of a grab bag lesson. If you don't know what that is, it's basically I've got a bunch of ideas. I'm putting them in a bag and pick out what works for you and take it and run with it. I'm going to throw a few different things out here tonight that I hope can benefit you. You certainly don't have to do everything that I bring up tonight, but I hope that there's something practical that you can just grab out of the bag and say, I'm going to try this maybe this week or try this at some point in the future. When it comes to prayer, we all are probably in a different category tonight, and we often move between categories. Some of us may not pray. Maybe we just have never prayed or we currently don't. It could be that we don't know what to say, we don't know how to pray, we don't know where to start. That's certainly a place many of us may find ourselves in. Another category is we've prayed to God, and we kind of pray to God, but only on a few occasions. Maybe it's when we're really desperate or really need something bad. And so that's when we find ourselves talking to God. Another category that some of us may find ourselves in is we are more on and off. Sometimes we feel pretty intentional about it, but then sometimes we just forget to pray, and it's not on our priority list that week or that season of our life. Some of us may pray to God fairly regularly, but we get into what I call prayer ruts, where it becomes so routine and mundane that we just go into autopilot and say the same things. And then maybe a fifth category is some of us do feel that we are in a very good prayer life at the moment, that our prayers are frequent, that they're intentional, that they're meaningful. And I applaud you if that's where you're at tonight. That's a really good place to be. But like I said before, most of us go back and forth between those categories, depending on the season of our life and what we're going through, what's going on. And if your prayer practices are on fire today, I'm excited about that for you. But if they are a little rusty, or maybe they're just stuck in the mud and you don't know where to go, I hope that this will be an encouragement to you and give you something that you can put into practice. And that's what I want to talk about tonight, is how to have a rich and committed discipline of prayer. But first, we have to answer the question, why do we need to commit to praying to God? And in a room like this, you all have an answer to that. And so these verses probably come to mind. You can turn to them. Philippians, I would recommend, because we're going to come back to that. But many of you likely have a reason that you could give of why prayer is important. Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And so we might say we should commit to praying to God because it's communication with our Father, and He wants to hear from us, and that would be an absolutely valid reason. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, just very short verse, pray without ceasing. And so a reason you might give for prayer is that God commands us to pray, and so we should pray. And you're absolutely right. That's a very valid reason to commit to prayer. But I want you to consider another reason that we should pray that is in that Philippians 4:6, and actually the next verse as well. And so if you're in Philippians, read verse 6 and then keep going with me. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We really need to commit to prayer in addition to those other reasons we talked about, because prayer is powerful. When you consistently communicate with the Creator of the universe, that's going to change something. That's going to alter your life in some ways. When you commit to talking to God, to praying, your life really can't be the same if that becomes a practice of your life. And so in Philippians, Paul is teaching us that when we pray, especially in a thankful and a vulnerable way, that we will begin to experience the peace of God, at least in this example that Paul is talking about. How powerful is the peace of God? For those of you who've experienced it, very powerful. I mean, it's beyond what we can imagine. It's something that we'll never fully understand. And if you have experienced that as a Christian, it may be difficult to put into words what that means to somebody who has not experienced the peace that passes understanding. Beyond understanding, it's difficult to describe. But when you make a practice of praying to your Father, He gives you a peace that is truly life-changing. God can give you a peace that will guard your heart from loneliness or anxiety. It can guard your mind from depression. It can guard you from the weight of the world around you and the cares of the world. But all of that begins to happen when we begin to pray. And that's just one example. But the point here is that prayer is powerful. It does actually change things. It does actually cause things to happen. It's not just a routine that we get in. Prayer is powerful. And it's not powerful because our words are powerful. It's powerful because the God we are praying to is powerful. It's not an exercise that we should do three times a day just because we're Christians. It's communication with our Almighty God that shapes our mind and transforms our heart and actually forms us into the person that God made us to be. And so I want to illustrate that with another prayer that we see in Scripture that gets into the power of prayer. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. This is one of my all-time favorite prayers in Scripture. In Ephesians 3, verse 14 through 21, I've read it up here before on a couple of occasions, but I want to show you just how powerful Paul thought prayer was, because Paul has a really high view of prayer. So let's start this prayer in verse 14 and go through verse 21. For this reason, this is Paul praying, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Paul is praying for the Christians in Ephesus, and as you read this prayer, you have to come away with at least some sense that Paul believes prayer works, that it changes things. And he asks for some incredibly big things on behalf of these Christians in Ephesus, because Paul thinks that prayer works. And Paul's right, because he's inspired when he writes this. So what are some of the things that prayer can do, some of the ways it can change us, some of the ways that it's powerful? One is strength. Prayer can strengthen you, and Paul prays for this. With what? Paul actually says with the power through the Holy Spirit. There's a spiritual strength that comes from consistent and committed prayer to God. Your faith will grow stronger. Your relationship with God will grow stronger. Your commitment to holiness, to righteousness, will grow stronger when you commit to prayer. But there's more. Paul mentions God's presence. Prayer has a powerful way of reminding us that God is here and that God is near. If you've ever felt distant from God or wondered where God is, maybe try praying more. Talk to Him. It will remind you that He is with you, He is in you, and He will care for you. Paul mentions about being rooted in love. Prayer has a way of making us more loving people. Have you ever tried praying for your enemies? It will soften you at least a little bit if you give it a shot. Praying for people requires us to grow our capacity to love people. And so communicating with God grows our love. He also mentions knowledge of the love of Christ. Prayer empowers you to learn and know the love that Jesus has for you. There's a lot of times where my brain feels very foggy. I feel that I'm, just a little bit off that day. Maybe there's a lot going on and the world is spinning around me, and you probably relate to this at times in your life. When I pray in those moments, and to be honest, I don't always, and I should, but when I do pray in those moments, I often find that things calm down a little bit, and that being reminded of God, that He's there, and that He loves me, will bring some peace and some calm to my mind and to that situation. We're always running around from this to that, but prayer forces us to stop and to dwell on God and His love for us. Paul also mentions that he wants the Christians to experience the fullness of God. And I'm not totally sure what that means, but I know Paul isn't crazy when he says something like this. He believes in the power of prayer so much that in some way prayer can help us experience the fullness of God as we learn who He is and grow into who we are created to be. And certainly I want to be filled with the fullness of God, and I think we all would. He also mentions that they could recognize God's power. Prayer has the power to show you God's power, because God is the power of prayer in the end. God is so powerful that He can do far more abundantly than anything we could ask or think. And that same power is at work within us, meaning Christians. And I don't know all the ways that God's power works today. He's above me. He's above us. He's beyond us. But I do know that one way has surely got to be prayer, that God works through prayer. When we pray, we get to think about and talk to God about the things that we're going through. And we get to see how those prayers are answered in ways we might expect, and in probably more often ways we don't expect. And the way God works through the lives of people, in blessing them, and providing for them, and guiding the direction of their lives. Prayer is powerful because God is powerful. And when you commit to talking to God and walking through this life with Him, you get to be a witness of that and to see that firsthand. And it will change you. It will change you. So those are a whole list of reasons as to why you should commit to prayer. And there's more. But that's just a few that Paul brings up as being an effect that prayer can have. So there's the why. But I really want you to take away some of the how. How could we commit to prayer more in our life? This is where that grab bag comes in, that you can take any of these or maybe none of them, and there's something else that works for you. But let me give you a few ideas. One is one that some of you are already familiar with because I've taught it in the youth group and maybe some other settings. But one is praying the Bible. Raise a hand. Who is familiar with the phrase praying the Bible? All right, a few of us. Okay. If you don't know where to start or what to say in prayer, or if you're in a prayer rut, this is one of, the best things that you can do for your prayer life. It will transform the way you pray, one way or another. It will change the way you pray. Because one of the struggles people have with prayer, and I know I've had it, is that it can seem like a one-sided conversation. I'm talking, but I'm getting nothing back in return. And of course, for those of us who are mature and faithful, we know that's not true. But it doesn't feel that way sometimes. Even if we know that God is there, it certainly can feel like a one-sided conversation when we are really honest with ourselves. And so praying the Bible turns prayer into a two-sided conversation. Here's how it works. Pick a verse or a few verses or a chapter in the Bible and read the first verse of whatever passage that you've selected. What that is God talking to you. Because this is the Word of God. That's what we call it a lot, right? That means that God is talking to you through this book. That's one side of the conversation. Then stop reading and talk to God about whatever comes to mind from that one verse. And that is your prayer. That's your side of the conversation. And once you finish talking about whatever comes to mind from that verse, move on to the next one. And what you'll find is that you are actually in a conversation with God in prayer. And it will change the way you pray. And I'm serious that this is something that will change how you pray. Simply because you might start praying about things that you just never prayed about because you never thought about it. Now, there's a lot in that book that you could bring up to God in prayer that sometimes we don't default to. So here's a little bullet point list of what I just went through and how to do this. But I want to practice this with you guys. So everybody turn to Psalm chapter 1. The Psalms are the easiest place to do this, but you can do it with any verse in the Bible. But I always like to go to Psalms when I teach this because it's the simplest place to do it. Psalm chapter 1, we're going to read verse 1 together. This is God talking to us. Psalm 1 verse 1 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers." And so after reading this verse, you then just pray to God whatever comes to your mind. And I know for me, this is, okay, well, what does this verse mean? What's the point that David's trying to get across? You're overthinking it at that point. You don't have to interpret the Bible or perform proper hermeneutics and exegesis and all those fancy things. Just pray whatever comes to mind. Sure, if you want to pray about not walking in the counsel of the wicked, do that. But maybe you want to pray about walking just because that word is in there. Lord, thank you that I can walk, that my legs are functional. Or maybe you've had an injury. Thank you that I healed from that and I have use of my legs again. Just whatever comes to mind. And then when you're done, you go to the next one, verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Then after you read that, you could pray about maybe the Bible and be thankful that God gives us his laws through Scripture. Or maybe you just decide that you see the word day and night. You want to thank God for the seasons and for the day and the cycle of the sun and the moon. Whatever comes to mind, you pray it back to God. Okay, now I want you to practice this on your own. So, everyone in the room, pick a number between 2 and 150. You probably know where I'm going. All right, pick a number, 2, 150. Now turn to the psalm that corresponds to the number you picked. Okay? Everyone turn to that psalm. Some of you picked a great psalm. Some of you might have picked a very difficult psalm for this. But hey, it's God's word, so it's good no matter what. And what I want you to do, just for like a couple minutes here, and you're probably not going to get through it all, I just want you to take the first two verses of whatever psalm you picked, whether it's Psalm 2 or 89 or 133, whatever it is. I want you to read the first verse, then I want you to just pray to God whatever came to mind, okay? And just spend about a minute and a half doing that, and then we'll carry on. But practice this, all right? Go for it. All right, you probably aren't done yet, and I apologize. But I would encourage you to do this when you get home tonight, or maybe morning is more of a time of prayer for you. Find a psalm, find a chapter, even just a couple of verses to try this with. And I think that you'll see that it's very beneficial. It helps me get out of prayer ruts. I will tend to say the same things in prayer a lot, whether it's requests or gratitude. It's the same things that come up. But when's the last time that you prayed and thanked God for your legs? For some of us, it may not have been that long ago. But for some of us, it may have been too long ago to remember. And so you'll pray about things that you may never have prayed about. And I think that's very transformative to our prayer life. But that's not the only way to pray. That's not the only method of committing to prayer and making prayer a regular practice in your discipleship. Another one is what I like to call micro prayers. I mentioned this in the youth group class. Adam was teaching it, but we're talking about prayer. These, when I started practicing these are great. I love micro prayers because I used to think that prayers had to be a certain length, or you had to hit all these certain, you know, notes for it to be a legit prayer and for it to count. Y'all ever felt that way? I did, because that's what you hear up here. But there's really short prayers in the Bible. The shortest one is in Matthew 14, where Peter is walking on the water, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." That's it. Lord, save me. Nothing else. That's a very short prayer. But guess what? Jesus heard that prayer. So, because I used to think prayers had to be a certain length and I had to hit these certain notes, if I couldn't do that, if I didn't have the time, if I didn't have the mental energy to do it, I would just not pray so that I could, you know, give a legitimate prayer later when the time would arise that would allow me to do that. You know what ended up happening? I'd forget to pray about it. This really would happen when somebody would say, "Hey, Noah, would you pray about so-and-so or such-and-such for me when you get a chance?" Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm a Christian. I'm going to say yes, right? Absolutely, I'll pray for you. But would I? Many times, ashamedly, I wouldn't, because I would forget. And so now what I do is every time somebody asks me to say a prayer or pray for something, hopefully I will remember later on. You know, sometimes I do. But if nothing else, when that conversation ends and I turn around to walk away or get in my car, I'm going to say a quick little prayer about whatever was asked so that, one, I actually do pray and bring that to God, and two, so I'm honest and I honor my word when I say yes, I will. So these are easy. As soon as you think of something to pray, pray it. It may be 3 words. It may be 30 seconds. It may not even be that long. There's no set length for prayers. The Lord's Prayer is pretty short too. And so practicing these quick prayers, I promise you, they are not irreverent. God wants to hear from us, even if we have very few words to say. Another one is to pray through your day. Psalm 55, verse 16 and 17 says, "But I call to God, and the Lord will save me. Evening and morning and at noon, I utter my complaint and moan, and he hears my voice." David was seemingly always talking to God, no matter the time of the day. And we don't have to have a special time set aside to pray, although those can be helpful and important. But we can pray through the day. That might look like we plan out a day, and we say, "Hey, this Tuesday, I'm going to pray throughout the day. Where when I have a free moment in the car on the way to work, I will be praying. When I have some downtime between tasks at my job, I'll be praying. When I'm in the past period between classes, I'm going to be praying. When I'm bored, I'm going to pray." Because you know how we usually fill that time? Screens. But what if we turned that time and took it back and gave it to God? That's an option for prayer. Another one, pray what you see. Psalm 104, verses 16 through 18 says, "The trees of the Lord are watered abundantly, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. In them the birds build their nests. The stork has her home in the fir trees. The high mountains are for the wild goats. The rocks are a refuge for the rock badgers." This is a psalm full of descriptions about the beauty of creation. that inspire worship and awe and prayer. And it's a great way to pray when you look at something to pray about it. When you go somewhere where there are beautiful sights and extraordinary scenery, pray about that. When you're in your backyard and you're just looking out, pray about what you see. When you're in your house and there's people or there's things there in the room, pray about those. That can be a very meaningful way of praying about the things that often go unprayed about. This one is one that maybe we do a better job of, is planning time for prayers. Mark 1:35 says that, "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed." Sometimes we do need to plan out times. For many of us, it's meals before bed, when we wake up. That can be a meaningful time to do that. But you need to, if that's what you're going to do, you've got to protect that time for prayer. Another option, this is one that I don't do as much, but some people will find very beneficial, is to write down your prayers. You may have heard of prayer journals. But having planned out, thought out prayers ahead of time, or maybe writing down after you prayed so that you remember that prayer. This can be a way that we talk about things in a way we might not talk about them, or bring up vulnerable topics in a way we might otherwise forget or be bashful to bring up. It allows you to really think through what you're going to pray. And it allows you to, if you keep a record, go back and see the way God has answered some of those prayers. And the last one I'll give you, there are certainly more, is to pray the prayers of Scripture. It's similar to praying the Bible, but a little different. You know, there's hundreds probably, maybe more, of prayers recorded in God's Word for us to learn from. And we can learn lessons, but we can also learn about just how to pray and what to pray about. There are prayers of praise, prayers of thanksgiving, of mourning, of asking, of begging, of questioning, of doubt, of celebration. There are prayers by godly people and ungodly people, by men, by women, by rich, by poor, and the list goes on. Read those prayers and maybe pray those exact prayers back to God. Maybe you need to change some of it to make it more personal to you, but pray those prayers back to God. There are some beautiful prayers recorded in Scripture. I hope that one of these ideas has sparked your imagination, sparked your interest, that is something that you can take and with you in practice, whether it's tonight or maybe sometime this week. And maybe this is something that you're already doing and you feel very good about your prayer life. And I'm really happy about that for you. But if you're like me, prayer is sometimes a roller coaster. And a lot of times I find myself in the dip, in the down moment, and I could really use a jolt to my prayer life. And so I hope that one of these things can encourage you to pursue prayer, because it is powerful and it will change you and it will shape you as you grow in your faith, growing your discipleship. And so any of these things, if you have more questions about them or want some input, feel free to come talk to me or anybody. You know, we are in this together. And as a family, like we talked about this morning, God wants us to talk to Him too, not just to us. So I encourage you to put one of these things into practice. We all just have to decide how are we, not will we all need to, but how will we commit to prayer? There are some different ways and strategies to do that. And I hope that this was helpful. Prayer is a very special thing to do between you and God. There is also a type of prayer that's a very special prayer that I wish we could do more. And a lot of times it's because we just don't ask. And that's praying with each other and praying for each other. And the time of invitation is a time for that. Certainly, if you're not a Christian and you want to study about that or you're ready, we would love to baptize you and for you to be added to the Lord's church. This is also a time for those who need prayer. And it's a time where we ask for other people to pray for us, which is a very powerful experience. And so if you need prayer, whether it's for your prayer life or something else, it is powerful. It does work. It does change things. And this is a time for that, where not just you, but a whole church family can pray alongside you, pray with you. So if you have any need, please come as we stand and we sing.